Here's what I need you to do. Whatever platform you're listening to this show on, go leave a rating and review of the show. Right now, leave a 5-star rating and review the show. Tell people what you think about it. Tell people the value you're getting. You take care of that business. I'm going to get into this episode, and I'll meet you in the middle. Let's do it.
How to address them as people, not as players, not as employees, not as numbers, but as individual people. They have a mind, they have a heart, they have feelings, they have emotions, they have problems, they have things that they want in life, just like you. Addressing people as people.
StayAllDay.com.
Work on your game.
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 Approaching the game aggressively, with that aggression, with that confidence to dominate a game.
Dre Baldwin, DreAllDay.com.
Work on your game.
Listen, my new book, Work on Your Game, Using the Pro Athlete Mindset to Dominate in Sports, Business, and Life, is coming out February 22nd. Go to workonyourgame.net and pre-order that book, because I'm going to give you some amazing bonus pre-order giveaways just for pre-ordering that book before it comes out on February 22nd. That website again is workonyourgame.net. To get all the pre-order bonuses, pre-order the book from your favorite retailer, and get all this extra stuff from me in addition to getting this podcast. Again, that website, workonyourgame.net. Let's get to it. Oh, man, can it get any better than this? I don't think so. You are tuned into the show where you learn the discipline of showing up day after day to do the work, the confidence to put yourself out there boldly and authentically, and the mental toughness to continue showing up, doing the work, putting yourself out there, even when the success you've expected to achieve is yet to occur. On top of all this, you get a huge dose of personal initiative. This is the go-getter energy that moves you to make things happen instead of waiting for things to happen. Putting all this together, you get the mindset, the method, the podcast known as Work On Your Game. My name is Dre Baldwin, also known as Dre All Day. Welcome to the show. Now, for the last 2 days, we talked about the traits of the best and worst teammates, coworkers, peers, members of your organization you could possibly have. Today, I want to talk to the leaders. Today, I want to talk to the bosses. Now, we talked to the rank and file. We talked to the employees. We talked to the workers. We talked to the players. Today, I want to talk to the coaches, the bosses, the owners, the supervisors, the leaders. Maybe you're in both categories. But today, we're going to talk about what people want in a boss, coach, leader, or supervisor. As an athlete, I played for a lot of coaches, a lot of teams, a lot of places, a lot of coaches, some who could speak English, some who couldn't even speak English. I worked many jobs and I had many bosses. All of them spoke English. Amongst all these coaches, amongst all these bosses and owners and supervisors, some were good, some were bad, some were ugly, some were a combination of two of the three. But here's what I learned and what I know, what I'm going to be talking about here in today's episode. What traits do people want in that person who's on top, that person who's in charge? Number one trait that a boss slash leader needs to have is that you suppress your own ego. A boss or leader suppresses his or her own ego, meaning you are not more concerned with your own personal glory than you are concerned with the business and progress of the team or the group and the business and progress of the individuals within that group. You are not putting yourself in front of the group. When I was in college, one of my coaches in college was this guy named Armin Gilliam. He had played in the NBA before he became a college coach. This was his first head coaching college job. And he had played in the NBA for 13 years before he took this coaching job. Now, I know that he played in the NBA for 13 years, not because I read up on him and not because anyone had did any research on it. I didn't do any research on him before I recorded this episode. I knew that Armin Gilliam played for 13 years in the NBA because when I was on the basketball team and he was coaching, if he would get in a debate with a player, not even a debate, but if he said something to a player, chastised a player, and the player said anything back to him, offered any type of retort to Armin Gilliam, he would exclaim, "I played 13 years in the NBA." He did this over and over again. He said it so many times that I remember that he played 13 years in the NBA. He would use this as a way to shut you up. And the thing is, while he wasn't lying, he did play 13 years in the NBA. Listen, nobody wanted to keep hearing that shit. You don't play in the NBA anymore. Like, you're a coach. You're coaching us, but you keep talking about how you played in the NBA. But that was his claim to respect as a coach. I mean, it's pretty much how he got hired, because he used to play in the league. He didn't have coaching experience. It turned out to not be a good decision by Penn State out to him. But that's a different story for a different day, maybe not even for this podcast. But the point that I'm making here is that he was more concerned with his own ego to me. In the long run of looking at how he led, his style of leadership, his style of coaching, his style of just dealing with people, is that he was way more concerned with his own personal glory, where his career was going, how he would make himself look, how he would feel about himself and how other people would feel about him. He cared much more about that than he cared about actually any of the players that he coached. Than he cared even about maybe, I mean, he cared about the success of the team because the success of the team would make him look good. But it was his own personal glory that was number one on his list. And the reason why this matters, here's the point that you need to take from this. The reason why this matters is when you're a boss or a leader, first, you already have everybody looking at you. You already have everyone listening to you. You already have everyone following your lead and following your cues. If people sense that you care more about making yourself look great than you care about making the team or the company or organization look great, or you care more about your own career advancement more than you care about the advancement of the people who are working for you, playing for you, who report to you, if they feel that, first of all, they're not going to give you their best. Second of all, they're going to resent you. Third of all, you may have a revolt on your hand at some point that people just say, you know what, we don't want to deal with this individual no more. Either he/she goes, or we being the team, or we go. You don't want to become that person. And this is really the key thing here. And I'm going to get into it in point number two. It's not about what you say you're doing. It's about what they say and what they think, how they feel about the way that you're conducting yourself. Are you willing as the leader, even though you're the leader, even though you're the boss, even though you're the one on top, you don't need to announce that you're the boss. As they said on Game of Thrones, if any of you watched that show Game of Thrones, and if you didn't, it's okay. Once a person said the king had announced, he was in a meeting and he had been overruled by some people who were in the meeting with him. And he said, how are you going to overrule me? I am the king. And a person replied to him, any king who has to say I am the king is no true king. And as Margaret Thatcher said, if being a leader is like being a woman, if you have to announce it, then you're probably not it. I think this is what she said. But Margaret, forgive me if I got that quote incorrect. But the point that I'm making here is you already know you're the person on top. You already know you're the leader. Everybody already knows you're the boss. Your name is on a company. Company might be named after you. We know you're the person. Okay. You don't have to announce it. You don't have to wear it on your chest. You don't have to strut around and make sure everybody recognizes you and kisses the ring and notices it. Are you willing to suppress that ego in order to uplift the people you're in charge of uplifting, the people you're in charge of bringing to another level? Are you willing to do that? Are you able to do it? I think everybody's able to do it. The bigger question is, are you willing to do it? Some people are not. And they get into these boss/leadership positions because of their ego. And they're looking to build their ego, widen their ego, enlarge their ego by getting into this leadership position. And you can tell that this is how they're doing it because every time that they're challenged, every time that they say anything, anytime that people don't completely agree with whatever it is they're saying, thinking, feeling, or doing, they have to let you know again how they're in charge, how they're bigger than you, better than you, stronger than you, in a higher position than you. This is a sign not of leadership, this is a sign of weakness. And this is also going to cause the people who, again, that you're in charge of, or the leader of, or the boss of, or whatever you may be, they're going to come to dislike you at the least and hate you at the worst. And you don't want that because that's not going to go well. You're not going to get much cooperation from the people. And in posterity, you will not be remembered fondly. Point number two, today's topic is what people want in a boss or leader or supervisor. Number two, and this goes hand in hand with number one, cares about their people, not just using those people for your own personal agenda as the boss or as the leader. Do you actually care about the progress of the people who you're supposed to be in charge of? One of my college coaches is a guy named Armin Gilliam as an example here. And this is exactly what I meant. In my opinion, I didn't feel like this guy really cared about his players. I think he cared as far as what can this player do to make me look good so I can have a good record here. And maybe, who knows, if he was trying to move on in his career to the next level or whatever it was he was trying to do, he was serving his own ego. He wasn't serving the program. He wasn't serving the university. He was serving himself. Because, again, every time he was debated with or challenged, he would say, well, I played 13 years in the NBA. Like, yo, you're not in the NBA anymore. Why do you keep talking about that? He didn't really care about his people. I didn't feel he did. I mean, if you ever talked to anybody else who was on that team with me, you can ask them and let them tell you what they think. There was a TV show called Last Chance U. And again, this point is caring about your own people, not just using people for your own personal agenda. It was a TV show on Netflix called Last Chance U. And it was about a community college in Mississippi where players who had been on D1 scholarships or were going towards D1 scholarships somehow got into some trouble, maybe on the field, often off the field, and they lost that D1 scholarship that they had or the offers that they had. So they went to a junior college. These players would all come to this one junior college, all these talented players, to try to rebuild their image, rebuild their careers, and then move on and transfer to that D1 school that they wanted to go to originally. So they called it Last Chance U, because this is your last chance to prove that you're a model citizen or that you can do the schoolwork or that you can compete at this level. And on this TV show, Last Chance U, their head coach was named Buddy. I forget the last name of the coach, but his name was Buddy. And Buddy was a very successful coach. He had won several championships in his league. He had all the plaques on the walls, and he was well known in the community, well known in the junior college football circuit as a champion who had won over and over and over again. By the end of the show, I remember I watched the whole, I believe it was 2 seasons of this show, at least the first installment of the show when Buddy's team was the team that was featured. Many of the players on that team, even though the team was very successful, even though a bunch of the players got scholarships and went to D1 schools after playing at this Last Chance University, even though they got a lot of exposure online from being on the show, many of the players felt like Buddy, the coach, didn't really care about them. Many of the players felt like, and they said this right there on camera, that they felt like Buddy was kind of using them just to push his own agenda, just to win as many games as he could possibly win, not because he gave a damn about anybody else. If you're a boss or a coach, to have your people think that you don't care about them, that you're just using them, whether it's true or not, whether you believe it or not, because when confronted with this, you might say, well, of course I care about them. Why would anybody think that I don't care about it? I care about it. Of course, you can say anything that you want, right? It's not about whether it's true or not, though. See, this is the important thing. It's not about what you say. And it's not about, even if it's true, it's not about the fact of, yes, I care or yes, I don't. I mean, you can't prove that to be a fact. Here's what matters is what they believe. If your people, your workers, the people who you write their paychecks, the people who you're the coach of, if they think you don't care about them and you just care about yourself, they're going to give you the bare minimum that they have to give you in order for them to get to the next step. See, the thing about being a boss or a leader or a coach or a supervisor or even a parent, whatever energy you bring to the relationship with the people who are subordinates to you, they're going to match your energy and they're going to do the same thing you do. Whatever energy you bring, they're going to bring. So if all you're concerned with is your own personal glory, everybody else is going to do the same thing. They're going to be concerned with their glory. If you only care about yourself and what you can get out of people just to advance yourself, everybody's going to know that. They're going to see that. They're going to feel it. And they're going to do the exact same thing to you that you're doing to them. So if you're a boss or a coach or a supervisor and listening to the stuff that I'm saying here today, if you look at your team, your organization, your employees, and you feel like they're not kind of up to the right level, they're not doing what you need them to do, they're just lacking in some areas, I guarantee you this, whatever they're lacking in, wherever they're not up to snuff, wherever they're coming up short, wherever they're disappointing you, all you're doing is looking in the mirror because they're showing you exactly who you are. A boss, leader, coach, supervisor, parent, you are followed by those people. They follow your lead, whether they may even openly dislike you and openly reject you and openly just go against you just out of sheer perversity. At least you think that's why they're doing it. All they're doing is showing you yourself. So if you feel like you're not getting the best out of them or you feel like you don't have the best people, I go to businesses all around Miami where I live, and often I go into business, I'm like, these employees don't really give a damn. They're not really locked in. I mean, they're kind of like, they're just working, right? They're there for the paycheck. They're there to get their money or collect their tips, get the paycheck. As soon as it's time to clock out, they're leaving. They don't really give a damn about the job and the place that they work. A lot of businesses I go in, at least the ones that are like the independently owned businesses, maybe sometimes in the chain, the big chains, but often in the small places, the people just don't give a damn. And when they do give a damn, you can tell that they do. And when they don't, you can tell that they don't. All it is a reflection of the owner. That's a reflection of the person in charge. It's a reflection of the person writing the checks and paying the salaries every single time. Whether you believe you're this type of person or not does not matter. I'm going to say that again for the bosses out there listening. It doesn't matter what you think. All that matters is what they think, the people under you, what they think and what they're showing you. And what they think, they're showing you every single day. So you don't even have to ask. All you got to do is look at them. They'll show you exactly what they're thinking. Point number three. Today's topic is what people want in a boss or a leader or a coach. Boss who does the same things the same way consistently so that everybody on the team knows what to expect. Any of you who've had everybody here has had a boss before, right? A supervisor or a coach. Check your favorites and your least favorites against everything that I'm saying here today. I should have said that at the top of the show. A good, consistent boss does things the same way, the same time, every single time. So everybody on the team, the reason they do this is not to be boring, not to teach discipline even. That will teach discipline by example, but it's so everybody knows what to expect. In other words, are you upholding the rules every single time that rule is not being followed? Are you saying something? Are you holding people accountable every single time? Not just when you feel like it, but every time. Are you enforcing penalties that are supposed to be enforced? Are you calling people out when they're doing things that they're not supposed to be doing? Or are you picking and choosing? See, if you start picking and choosing, people are going to stop respecting the rules. Whenever I usually live in buildings. As long as I've been living in Miami, I've lived in different buildings. I'm always paying attention to the security in the building. Yeah, the security, the front desk people, all these people. I'm watching them because I want to see how they enforce the rules. I read the rules. I see what the rules are supposed to be. And then I see how much do they enforce them. All right, the rule is you're not supposed to do this. All right, and then I see somebody doing it. Do I see somebody from security coming and saying anything? Or do I see security just walking by saying nothing? I wrote in the Daily Game how I was in the bike room. There's a bicycle storage room, usually in a building. I was in the room one day and there was this piece of paper, a big 8x8.5x11 sheet of paper that someone had dropped on the floor right in the middle of the room. The only way you could walk through the room is to walk right over this sheet of paper. Now, I admit I walked over it. I was standing in the room one day and a security guard who worked in the building walked in the room while I was in there, said hello to me, walked right over top of the paper, stepped on it, walked over it, walked past me, did what he had to do, walked out, stepped all over it again, and walked right out of the room, left the piece of paper right there on the floor. And that told me something. See, I'm telling you that to tell you this, not this, that the security guard is the boss, but what are the standards that you're upholding? And are you enforcing them on a consistent basis? Does everybody know what they are? Are they enforcing them? I remember I was watching a basketball game, and Dwayne Wade, this is when his first incarnation of playing with the Miami Heat, They were playing a game. I don't remember who they were playing, but it was on the road. It was a nationally televised game. Dwayne Wade went to the basket and shot the ball, and he missed. But he felt like he had gotten fouled. Now, no foul was called. He missed the shot. The other team got the rebound, and they started going in the other direction on offense. But Dwayne Wade, instead of running back on defense, as you do when the other team gets the ball in basketball, he stayed down near the basket he was at and just made a sour face at the referee, maybe said something to the referee about not getting the foul call that he believed he was due. Now, while he's doing this, the other team is going down the other end of the basket and they ended up scoring. Now, Miami called the timeout then because they needed to get things together. But I remember watching and I heard the announcer at the time, this guy named Mark Jackson, he pointed this out, Miami Heat's coach, Eric Spoelstra, he can't allow that. He can't let Dwayne Wade not get back on defense and the team get scored on and not say anything because everybody else on the team, they're watching. And I remember seeing it, and I'm a big fan of Dwayne Wade, but I was like, okay, if Eric Spoelstra doesn't say anything to him about what he just did, then he can't say anything to anybody else. Because then it looks like he's kind of enforcing the rules he's like picking and choosing when he's going to enforce the rules. Then it's not really a rule. All right, the rule's not being upheld every single time is not a rule. If you're not enforcing a standard every single day, it's not a standard. Right, a standard means every single time, all the time, no exceptions. That's the definition of a standard. All right, so you got to uphold that every time. What is the rule? What is it going to be? What is the penalty? How is this going to work? And it has to be consistent. People respect consistency. We depend on consistency. We rely on consistency. We pay for consistency and we respect consistency. When something is not consistent, we don't respect it because we see that it is not really what it's supposed to be. If I have a standard that says if you're late for practice, I'm going to make you run 10 suicides. And then my star player shows up late for practice and I don't say anything. Now everybody's like, okay, being late for practice doesn't mean anything. And then let's say the next day, my worst player, the end of the bench guy, he shows up late for practice and I make him run 20 suicides. Now everybody's looking at me kind of funny. They may not say anything, but they noticed. Like, all right, the star player showed up and you didn't say anything. Now the other guy shows up and now you're saying something. All right, now people are starting to waver in their belief in your leadership because now they don't know how much you're going to uphold what you say you're upholding because you're inconsistent. A leader has to be consistent so everybody knows exactly what to expect from them all the time. Phil Jackson, when he was coaching the Los Angeles Lakers, he would call out Shaquille O'Neal for making mistakes. He would call out, he would call timeout and chew out Kobe Bryant for making a mistake on defense, not being in the right place, not giving the right effort. I remember watching games and seeing him do it. And the players on that team, all the players on the Lakers, from Shaq and Kobe, the best players, all the way down to the role players, they all had to respect Phil Jackson as a leader because, first of all, he was willing to call out the best people. And second of all, whoever made the mistake, he was holding everybody to the same standard all the time. A boss standards, whatever your standards are, and you announce those standards or you just show those standards through your actions, they better stay the standards all the time, not just when it's convenient. Point number four, these are the traits that people want in a boss or a leader. Number four, you elevate leaders within the group. See, being a boss or a leader doesn't mean you're the only one talking all the time. You're the only one in charge. Nobody else can say anything, that you just lord over the whole situation. And you try to dominate all the time. That's not going to work because, first of all, nobody wants to hear any voice all the time. Nobody wants to hear the same stuff all the time from the exact same individual. You got to find different angles, different ways of bringing your message so that it's fresh to people. And everybody doesn't listen to everybody the exact same way. Going back to that college coach of mine, Armin Gilliam, hopefully it doesn't seem like I'm bashing the guy, but I got to use him as an example because he was a leader that really violated a lot of these principles that I'm sharing here today. You can thank him, actually, for the fact that he may have played a role as an inspiration for this episode. When he was the head coach, this is what's crazy. I told you in yesterday's episode how basketball teams have all these assistant coaches. Armin Gilliam didn't have any assistant coaches. When he was the coach of the team, when he first got there, he had zero assistant coaches. Now, he had assistant coaches who came in. He had a couple people who came in for a day or two, maybe a week or two. But then they would be gone. Like, he was firing his assistant coaches. He wouldn't let people stay around as assistant coaches. And I found out why, because I talked to this one guy who was an assistant, and then he stopped being an assistant. And I said, well, what happened? Why'd you stop coming? And he was like, yo, he fired me. he told me I was no longer an assistant coach. And the problem was, Gilliam's problem was, he didn't want anybody else having a voice other than himself. Now, this guy had a lot of problems as a boss or a leader, which is why he didn't last too long. The whole point that I'm making here is point number four. You must elevate leaders within the group so that they can hear it from someone else from a different angle other than yourself. You cannot dominate the whole situation all the time, which means as a boss or a leader, it doesn't mean you need to have an assistant boss or a co-leader. You need to take a look at people, employees or players amongst the group and empower those people who have the traits of leadership, empower them with the authority to call people out, to tell people to step up, to do the things that you would do, say the things that you would say without you having to be the one to say them. Now, speaking of the Los Angeles Lakers, during their time, their reign of being a dynasty in that Kobe Shaq era, there was a point guard on their team by the name of Derek Fisher. And if you watch basketball, you remember Derek Fisher. He actually got drafted the same year as Kobe Bryant. Derek Fisher was not a star. He was a starter, but he wasn't a star. Never came close to making an all-star game. He was just a solid role player. He knew his role. He accepted his role. And he played his role to a T. So much that amongst the Los Angeles Lakers fans, Derek Fisher's a legend. He helped them win championships. Not as much, but he was very much a part of that team, just like Kobe and Shaq was. Now, in college, Derek Fisher had played at this college. It's called Little Rock now, but I believe when he was playing, it was called Arkansas Little Rock. That's where he's from. And when he was playing in college, he had already displayed these leadership traits that showed he's a guy who could be elevated from within as a leader for the group. And his college coach knew this. And I heard that his college coach said, and I heard his college coach say, that when the coach would be holding practice sometimes, and as I told you in yesterday's episode, there's nobody amongst us who likes to be at work every single day, whether you're a coach, player, whatever, boss, owner, nobody likes to be at work every day. There'd be some days in those dog days of the basketball season when the players at Arkansas Little Rock just weren't bringing the right energy during practice. And a coach would notice this. Now, let me pause right there and ask a question. Coaches, what do you do at this point? The players are not bringing the kind of energy that they need to be bringing. You see that they're not bringing it. They know that they're not branding. They know that they're dogging it. But it's one of those dog days of the season that everybody has to fight through. What do you do at this point? I'll tell you what most of my coaches did. When I was playing, this is what most of my coaches did. They would blow the whistle. They would, there's a few things they would. One, they would chew everybody out and let everybody know, look, y'all better start practicing hard and doing what y'all need to do. Or, and they would threaten us with some kind of penalty. Like, we're going to run a lot or something, usually a lot of running. They would threaten the players with some penalty to get everybody to play hard. That was the one that was most oft used in my experience as a player. Another one would be the coach just cussing everybody out and screaming and letting everybody know, look, y'all better show up. There was one coach I had who once we weren't practicing hard enough, he just grabbed all his stuff and he just walked out of the gym and said, practice is over. Y'all want to practice? Neither do I. And he just walked out of the gym. Let me tell you what the coach at Arkansas Little Rock did. He would call Derek Fisher over to him. This is in the middle of practice. He would call Derek Fisher over on the slide while everybody else was doing their thing. And he would say to Derek, listen, these guys are not practicing hard. I need you to get these guys going right now, or we're going to be in this gym all day until they do. And Derek Fisher, being the leader that he was, he had the cachet to go to his teammates and say whatever he needed to say to get everybody to show up and do their thing as hard as they needed to do it to the coach's satisfaction so they could get through practice. So the coach spared himself from having to cuss everybody out or blow the whistle or make everybody run a whole bunch of suicide drills or sprints or whatever it was that would be the punishment for those players. He had his own player do it. He had one of his leaders do it. First of all, identify and elevated Derek Fisher to the point. By elevating, let me be clear what I'm saying here. He didn't just announce to the team, like, look, whenever I got something to say, I'm going to tell Derek Fisher and he's going to tell everyone. No, it didn't work like that. He just identified that that guy was a leader. Then he took what he was already thinking, the coach that is. He would just plant it in Derek Fisher and let Derek Fisher give the coach's message to the players without it coming from the coach, which at times helped the players more accept that message and follow what that message was, even though all Derek Fisher was being was a mouthpiece for the coach. Now, Derek Fisher, again, he had the respect of the players enough to be that mouthpiece because he showed himself to be a leader within the team. And even once he came to the NBA and he wasn't the best player, I'm sure he was the best player back there at Arkansas Little Rock. He wasn't the best player teamed up with Kobe Bryant. He wasn't the best player when he was on teams with Shaquille O'Neal. He wasn't the best player when he was teamed up with Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant when he went to Oklahoma City. He wasn't the best player on any team he played on in the NBA, but he was a respected voice everywhere he played, because he had elevated himself as a leader within the group, which is not about talent, if you didn't catch what I'm saying here. No matter how strong or successful or eloquent of a speaker you are, I'm back to talking to you now, bosses, leaders. Some days, your people just don't want to hear your ass. Okay, is that clear enough? Some days, they just don't want to hear you, even though they signed up to hear you, even though they're supposed to hear you, even though you want something to say. You, again, you got to put your ego aside enough to know that, you know what, maybe it would be smarter. It'd be more prudent today for me to send this message through somebody else. All right, they need to hear it. They don't need to hear you. They need to hear it. You understand the difference? There's a message they need to get, but maybe they just need to get it from somebody else. And this is something that I've said to parents, coaches, when they have some issue with their players or their kids or your workers as a boss with your employees. Listen, maybe they just don't need to hear it from you. Send them to the Work On Your Game podcast. Let them hear it from me. All right, this is what you want to say, but I'm saying it. Because sometimes you just got to be smart enough to use somebody else as a conduit for your message. Now, a strong, smart leader who's able to suppress his or her ego is able to do this. Now, those who can't suppress their ego, they can't do this. They fire all their assistant coaches because they can't stand somebody else saying something that didn't come from them. All right, you don't want to be that person. All right, that egotistical leader who's showing, thinks they're showing strength, but actually showing their weakness by needing to dominate. You don't have to dominate. Be smart enough to know when to fall back. Your job is to identify and elevate those people to be that conduit between you and them. See, this is maybe the reason why when I talked about NBA teams having all these assistant coaches these days, is back in the day, I would watch a basketball game, there'd be the head coach, and there'd be maybe 2-3 assistants sitting right next to the head coach. And that'd be it. That'd be the whole coaching staff. But nowadays, you got all these coaches on the bench, then you got like the whole row behind the players. The whole row behind the players is more assistant coaches. I'm like, where the hell do all these coaches come from? I mean, shout out to all the assistant coaches out there, because I mean, yeah, there's a lot of assistant coach jobs out there. So many spots these days. I'm like, why the hell do these teams got all these coaches? But this must be the reason why NCAA and NBA teams have so many coaches on the staff, because coaches understood what I just explained, that maybe the message don't need to come from me as the head coach all the time. Let me tell you a story. I was at a game once. I went to I don't even watch college basketball like that, but if it's a live game, I'll go to it. So I went to this game. University of Miami was playing, and they were hosting Georgia Tech in a basketball game. Now, the coach at Georgia Tech is this dude named Josh Pastner. Now, I don't know Josh. I've never met Josh. Shout out to Josh. But I remember two things about this game. The first thing, which is not related to this topic, but I got to point it out, I have never in my life, and I was sitting right behind Georgia Tech's bench during the game. Now, they had coaches, and I'll get to that in a minute. But I was sitting behind their bench during the game. I have never in my life, I played a lot of basketball for a lot of coaches, and every game I played, there was my coach and there was other teams' coach. I never heard a coach scream so much at his players throughout an entire game. I mean, this dude screamed at his players all game long. I mean, from the opening tip of the game, this guy, Josh Pastner, he was just screaming at his players. Now, I mean, not yelling, not being forceful. I'm talking about screaming at the top of his lungs at these players. And this was like maybe 3 seasons ago. Hopefully, Josh, I think he's still the coach. I Googled him before this episode. He is still coaching. Hopefully, he isn't still screaming. He would have lost his voice by now if he screamed like that every game for even 3 seasons. Who knows how long he's been coaching. But, I mean, I was like, wow, why does he keep screaming? He was screaming at the top of his lungs with all his energy all game long. But that was just something I had to point out. The other thing that the reason I really brought this up was while they were warming up and getting ready for the game, and then they had like their pregame huddle, Georgia Tech, that is, I was counting the assistant coaches. The guys with the suits on and holding clipboards and stuff, they had 10 assistants between adding in the head coach. There were 10 of them. The coaching staff was 10 people. I'm like, they got more coaches than they had players. I was like, why do they have all these assistants? Maybe Josh understands what I'm just now explaining, which is maybe he's not the one who needs to be giving the message every time. And if he's screaming like that whenever he needs to give a message, he's absolutely right. Point number 5. Today's topic is the best traits that people want in a boss or a leader. You know how to address members of your group as people. Yes, how to address them as people, not as players, not as employees, not as numbers, but as individual people. They have a mind, they have a heart, they have feelings, they have emotions, they have problems, they have things that they want in life, just like you, addressing people as people. And this refers back to point number 2. And point number 2 is showing that you care. People need to know that you give a damn about them if you want to get your best out of them, if you want to get their best out of them. While you do need to be consistent and you do need to enforce your standards as a leader, you also need to know that there are people who you can yell at in front of everybody and they'll take it and they'll be all right. And there are also people who you need to take aside and talk to. You can't treat everybody the exact same way. My college coach, again, Armin Gilliam, he was indiscriminate. He didn't care. He would scream and cuss you out and yell at you in front of everybody. It didn't matter who you were. It didn't matter what your personality was. It didn't matter what your communication style was. He would do it to everybody. And he lost some of his players by doing that because not everybody can be communicated with that way. You got to know who you can deal with in what way. There's some people you need to yell at them in front of everybody because otherwise they're not going to hear you. And there are some people you never do that because you'll completely lose them mentally and you might as well have just thrown them out of your group because they're not going to be useful to you anymore. You got to know who those people are, and that requires you caring. Now, if you don't care about people, then you just see everybody as just another person and you're going to communicate with them the way that you communicate with you, the way that you want somebody to communicate with you or the way that you've always done it. That's not going to work. And yes, I know you're the boss. I know you're the leader. I know you call the shots. I know you do what you want to do. But if you do it in these ways that don't work, you're going to end up not producing results and you're going to hurt yourself in the long run. So even though this is about other people, it helps you too. And I got to appeal to your self-interest here, just in case that wasn't enough for you. You can't scream at everybody. Point number 6, Mr. Josh Pastner. If Josh happens to be listening to this or somebody in the Georgia Tech program is listening to this, shout out to Josh. Let him listen to this episode. Hopefully he ain't screaming at everybody no more, because that was really amazing. I've never seen somebody scream that much in a basketball game. Number 6. Back to the topic. Today's topic are the traits that people want in a boss or a leader. A boss or a leader makes clear who he is or she is and what it is from the gate. What I mean is, if I'm running a company and you get hired there, I'm going to be very upfront and transparent with you about how I lead, how I run things. what type of things I allow, what type of things I do not allow, and I'm going to let you make a decision. Is this something that you can live with? Now, yes, I am going to treat you as an individual within those standards, but these are the standards. This is how it's going to be in general. You got to understand that that's what it is. So when you get here, there are no surprises. That's what I mean by making it clear who you are and what it is from the very beginning. Because if you don't tell people who you are and what it is from the beginning, and then they get there and they realize how completely different it is, then that's when you're going to have conflict. That's when you're going to have problems. And that's when you're going to look bad because everybody's looking at you like, wait a minute, you didn't tell me anything like this from the beginning. I wonder if Coach Pastner at Georgia Tech tells his players that he screams at everybody all game the way that he did when I went to that Georgia Tech University of Miami. I wonder if he does. When I was watching that game, I was sitting there watching him scream. And I'm sitting near their bench. So maybe I just felt like he was screaming loud because I was sitting close to the bench, but the dude was screaming. I mean, he's a short guy. He's like a smaller guy. At least he seems small. He was screaming so much, it just made him look silly. So, and again, shout out to Josh, no shots. But I wonder if his players, before they come there, do they go to a game and watch him do that and then say, yeah, this is the guy that I want coaching me? I don't know. I mean, there were players on the roster. I Googled the team. They got players on the roster this year, so I guess so. I don't know, but as long as he's clear up front and there are players who said, yeah, I'm going to deal with this, hey, it's all good. To each his own. Everybody ain't the same, all right? When I came to Penn State Altoona, I had a coach when I first came there. This is before Armin Gilliam. I had a coach named Kenny Macklin. He had actually recruited me from Penn State Abington where I played my freshman year. Now, these points that I laid out here today, what people want in a boss or a leader, Kenny Macklin wasn't perfect. He did not follow all these points to a T. He didn't. Not everything on this list did he follow. There are some things that I would have to give him an X instead of a check mark on, but I can't blame him for it. I got to respect the way that he did his job, and there's one reason why. Because when I came to Altoona for my visit, I came and visited in the summer, and he showed me all around the campus and all the basketball courts and the dorms and told me how things went and all that. And we sat in his office, and he made it very clear, 100%, what it was going to be. He talked about how he did practice. He talked about how he was being such a nice and cordial and personable individual while I was on my visit. But he said, when I'm coaching the team, I'm not like this. I'm going to be a different person. I'm going to have a whole different energy. I'm not going to be so nice and cordial and personable when I'm coaching the basketball team. You need to understand that right now and make a decision. Is this something that you want to be a part of? He made it very clear what it was going to be. And when I got there, I did come to Penn State Altoona. What he said it was going to be is exactly what it was. So I had to respect. I couldn't be mad at it. I couldn't say, yo, you told me it was one thing, it was another. I couldn't say, yo, you kind of pulled a bait and switch on me because that didn't happen. Whatever he said, everything he told me about there, he told me the good. He told me the maybe not so good, the questionable, the things that might give me pause. And I said, yeah, I'm coming anyway. And then it was exactly what he said. As long as you're clear up front who you are and what it is, nobody can complain once they get into it what it's going to be. I understand, or at least I believe, because I'm not in these businesses, but college and business recruiting, as far as sports recruiting for colleges or business recruiting, those of you who do any kind of headhunting or you recruit people for your business, I'm sure that's a very tough business because there are a whole lot of people recruiting. There are a whole lot of recruits out there, some of them good, many of them not. You got to find the right ones. And then when you find the right ones, you're competing with a bunch of other people who are trying to get these same good recruits, right? I'm sure it's like that. I don't know for sure, but I'm sure it is like that. But here's the thing that I want you to consider, bosses, coaches, leaders, all of us, just thinking of yourself as a person, forget that your job, we all have a sixth sense for bullshit. You agree? You know when you're talking to somebody who's full of shit, and you know that they're not really being truthful. You know they're not being 100% forthcoming. You know they're not being honest. You know there's a person you probably should not trust. You can just sense it. It's not even anything specific that they said. You could just sense that this person's kind of full of shit. All right, you can do that, right? So here's the thing. When you're out doing your job and you're recruiting and you're trying to get people to join your team, your group, your organization, be a part of what you have going on, they have a sixth sense for bullshit just like you. And here's the thing. We got the internet nowadays. So you can't lie about who you are and what you are and what it is. Because the internet tells, well, I can't say, I was going to say the internet tells no lies, but that would be completely incorrect. The internet's going to tell something. Let's put it that way. You can't completely front about what it is because it's probably already out there. Somebody probably already shared it. So the more honest and open you are up front about what you're offering and what it's going to be, the higher the chance that I'll take it and be happy with it because I know what I'm accepting. I know what I'm walking into. I know what I'm getting myself into. I know what I'm taking. I know what I'm taking on. I know what I'm stepping into. But if you kind of tell me half of it, but don't tell me the rest, or you tell me all of it, but you don't honest about what all of it is, and then it turns out to be different, then we get conflicts, and then that hurts everybody. That slows everything down, and you don't want that. Let's recap today's topic, which is what people want in a boss or in a leader. Number one, they want someone who suppresses their own ego, not more concerned with their personal glory than that of the business or the team or the group. Number two, do you care about your people, not just using them for your own agenda and advancement, but do you care about them enough, not that you say it, but that they feel it and they believe it? Number three, we want a boss who does the same things the same way consistently so that everybody knows exactly what to expect. The rules, the penalties, calling people out, the standards, holding people accountable. Are you doing it consistently or are you kind of picking and choosing and doing it when it's convenient? Number four, do you elevate leaders from within the group? Meaning you're not lording over every situation and trying to dominate everything just because. Finding leaders amongst your rank and file, so to speak, and empowering them with enough authority to be the voice sometimes when you don't need to be all the time. Because no matter how eloquent you are, how strong you are, how great of a speaker you are, nobody wants to hear you all the time. Are you willing to let somebody else kind of speak for you and be that mouthpiece at times when people kind of getting tired of your voice? Number five, do you know how to address members of your group as people? Referring back to number two, caring about people. Understand that, yes, you must be consistent. Yes, you have your standards, and yes, you have to enforce them. You also understand that there are people who you can scream and yell at in front of everybody publicly, and there are also people you need to bring in and talk to quietly one-on-one and not do that to them because everybody does not respond to everything the same way. Everyone is not like you, so you can't talk to them the way you would want to be talked to. You got to talk to them the way they need to be talked to. And number six, do you make it clear who you are and what you're about from the beginning? Even the bad stuff, even the stuff that people might not like, even the stuff that's going to be uncomfortable, even the stuff that somebody might actually hate in the long run, are you clear about what it is from the beginnings? Because when you are, number one, people can't complain about it because you told them from the beginning. Number two, people are going to have much more respect for you because you made it clear that this is going to happen. And then when it happened, they can't bitch about it. These are the traits we want in our leaders. Check yourself. Work on your game. Dre all day. .com. Since we don't have comments or live interaction here, I created a survey so I can learn more about my audience, your needs, your wants, your desires, and how I can best serve you moving forward. So please go to DreAllDay.com/survey and take the Work on Your Game podcast survey so I can learn more about those things that I just said and better tailor future content for you. I appreciate it. DreAllDay.com/survey. Take it now. As you know, my book, Work on Your Game, is coming out February 22nd. Would you like to see a video of me reading to you the introductory chapter of that book? How about learning how I would build my brand starting today? How about me explaining to you how I landed a major book publishing contract? What about the writing process for putting this book together with the publisher? And how about how the Work on Your Game podcast comes to be? Do you want to know exactly how we put this whole thing together? All of those that I just mentioned are bonuses that you get just for pre-ordering my book, Work on Your Game, which is coming out again February 22nd. Go to workonyourgame.net to see all the pre-order bonuses, pre-order that book, and get those bonuses for yourself. Again, that website, workonyourgame.net. I told you I was going to give you tons of value, right? Have I been doing that? I'm assuming that since you're still listening, I have. So please leave a review of the show on iTunes or Stitcher. Make sure you subscribe on your favorite platform and share these episodes. Share them on social media, on your website. Listen, just tell the person next to you to go get the Work on Your Game podcast. That helps this show get seen by more people so we can touch more lives, work on our games, and change lives. I appreciate you appreciating me, and I'll see you on tomorrow's show. Work on your game.